The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hi, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. Let's get started. From the Facebook group National Organization of Parents of Blind Children, there is a Zoom webinar April 26th for Aquatics for All Children and Youth, sponsored by the American Printing House. Aquatics involvement has been shown to improve coordination, stamina, flexibility, overall health, and wellness. Children and youth with visual impairment and additional disabilities can benefit from a program of aquatics that meets their unique needs. This webinar will provide an overview of various ways to instruct and support these children in aquatics programs. The Zoom meeting will be Wednesday, April 26, 2023, from 7 to 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's from the APH Connect Center. There is a link on the Facebook page to the aph.zoom.us registration page. Also on the NOPBC page, Envision, E-N-V-I-S-I-O-N, is sponsoring registration for the Level Up High School program. This program helps bridge the educational gap as students advance their education and prepare for transition to higher education and or employment. One Level Up High School STEAM session is the metalworking and welding, which teaches students the fundamentals of metalworking and welding. With instruction by facility staff at Go Create, students will learn about the different types of metalworking and welding processes, the tools and equipment utilized in these procedures, and the security precautions that need to be taken when dealing with metal. They will also have the chance to practice these abilities in the workshop to create their own project. I'm sure they meant to say safety rather than security. Upon finishing this course, students will have knowledge and information about the field of metalworking and welding should they decide to pursue it as a career. To register for the Envision Level Up High School program, please visit envisionus.com/level-up or email programs at envisionus.com. From WSBTV.com, blind man goes viral on TikTok after being stuck on an elevator at Atlanta Hotel, posted April 5th by the TV station. Dateline Atlanta, a blind man is going viral on social media after his experience inside a midtown Atlanta hotel. Mario Bonds was visiting Atlanta on business back in March and booked a stay at the Hampton Inn Suites on Peachtree. "I'm a very independent blind man," said Bonds. When he arrived, he was led onto an elevator by a valet representative. The hotel is unique because the front lobby is located on the 20th floor. He quickly realized the elevator was mostly touchscreen, and the buttons were not equipped with raised braille markings. "Now I'm in a situation where I can't do something, and it's now thrust in my face because I can't see," Bonds said. Later that night, he tried to meet a food delivery driver downstairs. "I get on this elevator and I end up stuck," Bonds said. He says he was stuck for 10 minutes and became frantic until a valet representative figured out what was happening. He confronted hotel management about his concerns the following day. "She told me I should have figured out how to use the alarm," Bonds said, referring to an operations manager. "She told me and my sister that she didn't build the hotel and that she felt attacked." In a statement to Channel 2 Action News, a hotel spokesperson wrote, "The hotel is aware of these reported concerns. Providing a hospitable, welcoming environment is the essence of our business, and it is our policy to comply with all ADA regulations. We immediately took the necessary steps to investigate further, including a consultation with our elevator company regarding potential updates to our equipment. We are also conducting additional training to provide a more seamless guest experience for individuals in need of accessibility accommodations." According to Georgia State Accessibility Code, all control buttons on elevators shall be designated by raised braille compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act. Channel 2 Action News has contacted the City of Atlanta to make them aware of the safety concerns. We are waiting to see what action will be taken to get the issue resolved. From news.ohsu.edu, gene therapy allows teen to see snowflakes for the first time. OHSU KCI Institute is part of a clinical trial evaluating potential treatment for inherited blindness. Article by Franny White. An otherwise ordinary snowfall offered a joyful and perhaps miraculous moment for a mother and her teenage daughter this winter. Eliza Van der Rostein, that's VanderRostyne, walked toward the family car as she went out to run ordinary errands in late January with her two children. While standing in the driveway of their Walla Walla, Washington home, her 16-year-old daughter, Aiden Moore VanderRostyne, suddenly shared that she could see snowflakes. For most, seeing snow is a normal winter occurrence. But for Aiden, who has a gene mutation that has significantly impaired her vision since birth, this was a first. Caught by surprise, Eliza quickly grabbed her smartphone and asked Aiden to repeat herself, but this time on camera. "Big snowflakes," Aiden said in the brief, candid video, as she reaches out for large fluffs of snow, her younger brother popping in and out of the background. Aiden, who has also been diagnosed with a developmental delay, doesn't speak in long sentences, but the video shows her wearing a wide grin that clearly communicates excitement. "That's so cool, Aiden," and an enthusiastic Eliza can be heard replying in between giggles. Experimental treatment. The moment was the result of Aiden's participation in a clinical trial at Oregon Health and Science University. One of Aiden's eyes received an experimental gene therapy treatment in April 2022 through a study that is sponsored by Atsena Therapeutics, that's spelled A-T-S-E-N-A. The experimental treatment sends tiny molecular machinery to the retina in the back of the eye, where the therapy is designed to deliver a working form of a gene that's critical for vision. Mutations in at least 20 genes are known to cause Leber congenital amaurosis, or LCA, a rare condition that causes about 1 out of 50,000 babies to either be born legally blind or lose most of their vision as children. In Aiden's case, a GUCY2D gene mutation caused her to be born with this condition. Atsena's ATSN-101 gene therapy delivers working copies of the GUCY2D gene. Aiden is among 15 people in the United States who are participating in the Phase 1 and 2 trial, an early clinical study that is evaluating the experimental treatment's safety and efficacy. Early results released in October 2022 indicate participants like Aiden, who received the highest gene therapy dose, have experienced meaningful improvements in vision without any serious safety events related to the gene therapy. Aiden, being able to see a snowflake for the first time, offers a wonderful real-life account of gene therapy's potential benefits, said Paul Yang, M.D., Ph.D., an associate professor of ophthalmology in the OHSU School of Medicine, who leads the university's involvement in the trial through the OHSU KCI Institute and its OHSU Elks Children Eye Clinic. As a physician scientist who works to develop and bring new treatments to patients, it's an honor to be among the first who get to witness signs of clinical success like this. I'm going to be brave. Having been diagnosed with LCA at just 6 months old, Aiden and her family have long adapted to living in a world that largely depends on sight. She uses a cane and her limited vision to get around. A paraeducator accompanies her at school and translates worksheets into Braille. In late 2017, the Food and Drug Administration approved the first-ever gene therapy for an inherited disease, LCA. Unfortunately, that therapy isn't an option for Aiden because it treats a different form of her condition, which is caused by a different gene. But Aiden and her family held out hope and then learned last year about Atsena's trial through her OHSU KCI Institute healthcare team. "We're a family that really respects the scientific process," said her mother, Eliza. Aiden thinks it's cool to participate in something like this. When she had the chance to participate in this trial, Aiden said, "I'm going to be brave and do something that will help other people." Now she says she's a superhero, like the Incredibles movie characters she loves. Before the trial, Aiden could only identify the largest letter on the chart that patients read during eye exams. To identify a shape or letter on paper, Aiden would touch her nose to the sheet, leaving about a half inch of space between the paper and her eyes. She could differentiate between light and dark, but very bright light or sunshine were overwhelming and prevented her from seeing anything. After receiving the experimental treatment in one eye, Aiden said she could see more of her mom's face, and her paraeducator noticed that Aiden was bumping into fewer obstacles at school. While Aiden didn't describe these changes in detail, various tests for the trial show Aiden's vision has improved, including being able to read more letters on the eye chart. "As a mom, I worry about my daughter's safety," Eliza said. "Already the sight she's gained helps her be more safe and be more independent. That's so important and very comforting." OHSU, Atsena, and the trial's other site, the University of Pennsylvania, will continue to follow Aiden and the other trial participants for 4 more years to monitor both their vision and overall health. More trial results are expected to be shared later this month at the Association for Research in Vision and Ophthalmology's 2023 meeting. From Engadget.com, E-N-G-A-D-G-E-T, researchers built sonar glasses that track facial movements for silent communication. The prototype reads silent commands with around 95% accuracy. Article by Will Shanklin, S-H-A-N-K-L-I-N, posted April 6th. A Cornell University researcher has developed sonar glasses that hear you without speaking. The eyeglass attachment uses tiny microphones and speakers to read the words you mouth as you silently command it to pause or skip a music track, enter a passcode without touching your phone, or work on CAD models without a keyboard. Cornell PhD student Ruidong Zhang, that's R-U-I-D-O-N-G-Z-H-A-N-G, developed the system, which builds off a similar project the team created using a wireless earbud, and models before that which relied on cameras. The glasses' form factor removes the need to face a camera or put something in your ear. Most technology in silent speech recognition is limited to a select set of predetermined commands and requires the user to face or wear a camera, which is neither practical nor feasible, said Cheng Zhang, Cornell Assistant Professor of Information Science. "We're moving sonar onto the body." The researchers say the system only requires a few minutes of training data, for example, reading a series of numbers, to learn a user's speech patterns. Then, once it's ready to work, it sends and receives sound waves across your face, sensing mouth movements while using a deep learning algorithm to analyze echo profiles in real time, with about 95% accuracy. The system does this while offloading data processing wirelessly to your smartphone, allowing the accessory to remain small and unobtrusive. The current version offers around 10 hours of battery life for acoustic sensing. Additionally, no data leaves your phone, eliminating privacy concerns. "We're very excited about this system because it really pushes the field forward on performance and privacy," said Cheng Zhang. "It's small, low power, and privacy sensitive, which are all important features for deploying new wearable technologies in the real world. Privacy also comes into play when looking at potential real world uses. For example, Ruidong Zhang suggests using it to control music playback controls, hands and eyes free, in a quiet library, or dictating a message at a loud concert where standard options would fail. Perhaps its most exciting prospect is people with some types of speech disabilities using it to silently feed dialogue into a voice synthesizer, which would then speak the words aloud. If things go as planned, you can get your hands on one someday. The team at Cornell's Smart Computer Interfaces for Future Interactions, Sci-Fi Lab, is exploring commercializing the tech using a Cornell funding program. They're also looking into smart glasses applications to track facial, eye, and upper body movements. "We think glass will be an important personal computing platform to understand human activities in everyday settings," said Cheng Zhang. There is a YouTube link for video on the device. And now a guest piece posted in the New York Times at nytimes.com. "I'm going blind, and now I find it strangely exhilarating," posted March 28, 2023, by Edward Hirsch, H-I-R-S-C-H. Mr. Hirsch is a poet, a critic, and the president of the John Simon Guggenheim Memorial Foundation. "I have been gradually going blind for the past 20 years. I didn't pay attention. I thought I needed better glasses. Until one night I popped out to go to the back room in a crowded movie theater. When I returned, the people in the seats had disappeared. I couldn't see anything except the screen. I stood in the back of the theater until my partner Lori came to find me. This was disconcerting, but I went about my business in my usual state of cheerful denial. My eyesight deteriorated precipitously during the pandemic, but I didn't notice because I was busy running a foundation from a small bedroom in Lori's house in Decatur, Georgia. I was in for a shock when I returned to New York City. I had trouble seeing things in my apartment. I had difficulty navigating stairs. People in my office found it hazardous to turn a corner when I was on the move. In the streets, as crowds thickened, I became a liability. I tripped over a man who was sprawled on the sidewalk. I stumbled into a stop sign. A tree branch clocked me. My disaster was taking place in slow motion. I still had time to observe it. Two things triggered a change. First, I knocked over a little kid who ran in front of me in a restaurant. He screamed bloody murder, then brushed himself off. Then I accidentally bumped into a woman on a dark street corner. She was with a group of friends and started shouting obscenities at me. When I told people that I couldn't see them, they didn't believe me. 'You don't look blind,' they said. My new eye doctor diagnosed me with a type of retinitis pigmentosa, a hereditary eye disease. My mother had it, and so does my younger sister. In the back of my mind, I knew that I had it too, but avoided the unhappy truth since there is no cure. It strikes a disproportionate number of Ashkenazi Jews, and therefore seems like one more gift from God. I can barely make out at 20 feet what most people can see at 200. Plus, my peripheral vision is shot. Darkness is utterly dark. My doctor mentioned that with my vision at less than 2200, I was legally blind and advised me to go get certified. To start, I called the Lighthouse Guild, an organization that helps people affected by vision loss. Taking seemingly simple steps like this can be difficult. It can feel shameful. Psychological barriers can get in the way. I've learned that you first need to publicly identify and acknowledge your disability. Then you must acknowledge to yourself and to others that you need help. And finally, you must be willing to accept the help that is offered. You have to say yes. Some people never make that leap. For me, it was a relief. A burden was lifted. After I got my diagnosis from Lighthouse and it was confirmed by the state, a world opened for me. I qualified for all sorts of free services that enabled me to function more or less normally. I now have an advocate for the visually impaired. In the past year, I've gotten help from an eye doctor who specializes in low vision, an ophthalmologist, and a computer specialist. Someone even came to the house to teach me to do things, including cook. Her specialty is Peruvian stew. My apartment is newly outfitted. My cooking teacher bought me a scale that calls out my weight. I haven't convinced it to lie. On my own, I've purchased an array of handy tools. I have glow-in-the-dark tape on the light switches and a long string of motion-activated lights in the hallway. I carry a tiny high-intensity flashlight everywhere. A magnifying lens is close at hand. I have a seeing AI app on my phone that reads documents. It also describes scenes and people. 73-year-old man standing in front of a bookstore looking happy. My most valuable training came from my cane coach. She is a CALMS, a certified orientation and mobility specialist. Lori ordered me a white tap cane years ago. It snood on a chair where I couldn't see it. But my new instructor told me it was outdated. "Get with it," she said. "No one taps from side to side anymore." Instead, she measured me for a collapsible white roller cane with a ball on the tip, and we started rolling through Brooklyn and Manhattan. That's her beat. Coach taught me to sweep the cane from shoulder to shoulder. It picks up every crack and fissure, freeing you to gauge things like electric bikes going the wrong way on one-way streets. She's like a batting coach, excellent on the fundamentals. Rolling a cane is like hitting a baseball, too. You need to keep your wrist loose and your hand relaxed. My last tutorial took place after sunset. Coach brought me a pair of dark sunglasses to make it even more difficult for me to see. My vision continues to deteriorate, and she was preparing me for a foggier future. We walked from Grand Central to Union Square. It was Christmas time, and there were pop-up stores everywhere. I used my cane to slap the sides of tents, to move through a crowd of shoppers, to part the sea of pedestrians. It was like being inside a video game, things coming at me from all directions. My sister says there's nothing fun about going blind, but I found the challenge exhilarating. In the end, we walked through the construction on 14th Street to the 7th Avenue subway. I navigated the stairs. Commuters were pouring out of a train. My coach told me never to hurry, but I grabbed her arm and rushed for the last car. Once we were settled, she said, "That last move lowers your grade." I am now more muscular about my disability. I stop other blind people to talk about cane technique. I show mine off for the sighted. Lori closes her eyes and I walk her through my lessons. She'd make an outstanding semi-blind person. I take a portable lamp into restaurants. Managers scurry over to turn it off. Lighting damages the ambiance. I explain that I can't see my friends, the menu, or them. It seems like magic when a waitress emerges from the shadows. Outside hotels, I ask doormen to lend me their arms. They are gents who escort me through the lobby like an aging prince. I once felt that I would rather die than go blind. Now I feel the opposite. Daily life has a renewed delight and vigor. I'm learning new things constantly. The most ordinary tasks, like going to the post office, have become terrifically interesting. In terms of everyday life, I feel that I am finally in there, more mindful and alert, more fully present. I have chosen curiosity over despair. When my disability was invisible, I irritated strangers constantly. They thought I was rude or dithering or both. People are impatient when they don't know why you're holding up the line. Now that I signal my disability with a white cane, I find that I have tapped a well of visible kindness. It's good to give people a chance to step up. The other day, someone ran after me and offered to tie my shoes. I declined. I've been tying them wrong since kindergarten. While I was waiting for a light, someone said, "Excuse me, sir, but you may not know that you're standing in front of a fire hydrant." Like a Buster Keaton film, my life is full of mishaps and averted disasters. One night, my cabbie was driving a Tesla. I couldn't find the button to open the door. But he was chatty. He has a brother who is blind, he said, and waited until I had gotten to my front door. I could no longer see him, but I waved goodbye. At the airport, even the TSA people have thawed. They walk me through security. Someone in a striped vest asked me if I knew my gate. "Enjoy Atlanta," he said. When I came at home, a woman saw me searching for the cab line at LaGuardia. "Roll after me," she said. When we hit the line, the dispatcher zipped me to a car and even laughed at my favorite joke. "I look forward to not seeing you again." Edward Hirsch, a poet and critic, is the president of the John Simon Guggenheim Memorial Foundation. Posted on Cool Blind Tech on April 10th, fitness app updates with new accessibility features. Gentler Streak has become one of the most popular fitness apps for iPhone and Apple Watch. And to ensure that everyone can use the app to track their health, Gentler Streak has now been updated to fully support iOS accessibility features. Gentler Streak helps users to monitor their exercise and to better understand their health data. The app was awarded the 2022 App of the Year for Apple Watch by Apple. Gentler Streak has been available for iPhone since 2021 and was released for Apple Watch in 2022. What's new with the update for a partially sighted user? Apple devices are known for offering multiple accessibility features. This includes VoiceOver, Assistive Touch, and Dynamic Text. With these options, anyone can easily interact with the devices by adapting them according to their needs. And now the developers of Gentler Streak are making sure that the app works with all these accessibility features. Gentler Streak version 3.0.4 makes it fully compatible with the display and text sizes options. This means that users can make text bold, increase font sizes, reduce transparency, and increase contrast for better viewing. There's also support for reduced motion, an accessibility option that reduces iOS animations. What's new with the update for VoiceOver users? Gentler Streak now provides detailed descriptions of the app's functionality for users with VoiceOver enabled. The upgrade is part of Gentler Stories' commitment to prioritizing inclusivity in health and fitness and ensuring everyone can achieve their well-being goals, the developers told 9to5 Mac. What's new with the update for Apple Watch users? The Gentler Streak app for the Apple Watch is also getting the same improvements, plus better support for the assistive touch, a mode that helps people with difficulty touching the screen interact with the system using hand gestures. All these improvements come ahead of the Global Accessibility Awareness Day, which is celebrated May 18th. Is the Gentler Streak app free? You can download Gentler Streak for free at the App Store. However, some of the features require a subscription or a lifetime license. On a related note, Gentler Streak offers up to 50% off on a yearly subscription with family sharing for old and new users until April 13th. From AARP, the magazine, for April-May 2023, on page 16 from Up Front Live, what's that bird? Find out with phone apps that hear the call. Merlin. This free app from the Cornell Lab of Ornithology can identify nearly 1,000 bird songs. If more than one bird is chirping, you can select a portion of the audio to identify. With another option, you can ID more than 7,500 birds through photos. Chirp-O-Matic. The main mission of this paid app, developed by a small team of natural and computer scientists, is to ID birds by their calls. Just open the app, point your phone toward the sound, and press the big button on your screen. The app spits out its top matches, and you can compare its sample calls and photos with the bird. Picture Bird, Bird Identifier. This app has sound and visual ID features, but for true enthusiasts, it additionally offers feeding guides, identification tips, articles on how to attract birds, and more for $40 a year. One advanced feature is a photo enhancing tool for when you can't get close enough for a clear shot. The tool sharpens the photo and narrows the identification down to a few options. Smart Bird ID. With free and paid options, this app does IDs and also adds a bit of social media value. Birders can like and comment on other people's photos as part of an international community. Plus, the app has bird quizzes and includes photo, video, and song resources as multiple options for identifying species. Sidebar by Maisie Fernandez. From the February 2023 issue of Reader's Digest, The Best Time to Buy Everything, on page 94. I'll pick up on page 96 because it's already April. In April, leaf blowers. Tires. Drivers are gearing up for summer road trips, so expect to see a variety of tire sales and promos around this time. May. Blenders. A variety of small kitchen appliances go on sale thanks to Mother's Day and Memorial Day. And mattresses and spring clothing. I've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long until next week, I'm Doris Hyde.